I want to talk this morning about how persons view themselves. My friend Dean Blevins has written about this, and he says there are three basic ways in which across the globe persons identify themselves. The first one he calls McWorld. Now, that's not an English word. It's not a German word. It's McDonald's. It's Mc and World. And the idea of this is that everyone is a consumer. It's the viewpoint that that everyone likes hamburgers. And that there are products that we would all want to consume together, which makes us all alike, which means that everyone on the entire globe is alike. And the great corporations and marketers of the world want to somehow flatten our differences and make them all go away so that we will all want to consume the same things. Those who celebrate this join hands with Michael Jackson and sing, "We are the world, we are the children," and it's everyone together. This is one view of human persons, that we're just all alike because we all want to consume the same things. The opposite to that is the way of viewing persons. We talked a little last night about it, is jihad, which is a logical response to McWorld. Because if McWorld comes to where I live and tries to make me like everybody else on the planet and says to me that I should desire to consume the same things that everyone else wants to consume, then there will be a reaction to that. There will be a resistance to that. And I will declare, "You are a stranger and an alien. Go away from me. Get out of here, stranger, because I like my way and I do not want another way, because my way is the only way and it is the best way." These are two ways that humankind on the globe is now identifying people. Either trying to flatten us all out, make us all the same as consumers, or saying, "I am radically different from you, and you must become like me, or else you are the stranger, and you must leave at this point." And here we are as the church thrown into the middle of this world. And sometimes I think as the church, we're schizophrenic. Sometimes we want to be McWorld. Sometimes we want to say to the world, "We are not odd. We're not strange. We're not different. See, we get up in the morning and we drink coffee. We go to work. We make money. We can win at football. We like music. We as the church are trying to convince the rest of the world that we're not really so odd." And then as we try to claw our way into the world's acceptance of us so that the world will smile and like us and be nice to us, when that doesn't work, then we become jihadist. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And we begin to speak about the fact that we are the children of light and you are pagan darkness. And we consign them to hell. And we don't quite know which we are. Are we McWorld or are we jihadist in the midst of this? Which is where the third way comes in. The third way of viewing people and of us being people in the world where we are. And that's what I'm calling table conversation. Table conversation. When we view ourselves in this model, it means we are family. It means that we have been born into a family. It means that we are gathered around a common meal where we are nourished for our life together. We call this meal communion. The host is our Lord Jesus, who invites us in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit to come. And we come to this table realizing that we are different in this world, but inviting the stranger to join us at this table. Because we are the adopted children of the Father, the ones who have been set apart and called to serve our God in the middle of a world like this. I would suggest that the doctrine that best instructs us as to how we are to operate as a table conversation is the doctrine of the Trinity. God in three persons. We just sang it. Blessed Trinity. Just what is a three-person God? If we define culture as a separate individual with an identifiable body, a recognizable face, and distinguishing characteristics, if that's what a person is God three persons? When you say, who is this person, Dan Boone? You might talk about a balding head and a little too much around the middle and graying and a beard and, persons. When we speak persons, we begin to use the kind of language that distinguishes us from one another, that sets us apart in the middle of a crowd. That's the way our cultures tend to define and use persons. So if God is three persons, can we do the same thing with God that we can do with three persons who are in this room right now? Can we send the Father to Romania and the Son to Norway and the Spirit to Portugal? Is that possible? Can they play on opposing soccer teams? Can we get them to disagree with one another? Can we have them belonging to different political parties? Can they divorce one another? Can we find characteristics that two of them have but the other one doesn't have? Silly questions. And maybe what's wrong is not our understanding of the Trinity, but our understanding of personhood and what it means to be a person. While McWorrell says all persons are alike, and while Jihad says persons are different, and if you are a stranger, just leave, maybe there is another definition of a person. I want to share with you the two contrasting definitions. I've written some about this. I want to read you the list here. Here is one definition of person. I am an individual. I am distinguishable from you. I have a social security number that is different from yours. I exist in an identifiable sack of skin. I make choices in line with my desires. I enter relationships that are meaningful to me. I seek out experiences that are relevant to me. I have limited time and do not want to waste it on uninteresting people. I'm not obligated to you unless I choose to be, and you have no right to expect anything from me unless I give you that right. I choose my politics. I decide whether or not women can preach. I decide my sexual ethics, my opinion about homosexuality, my theory of creation. I am responsible for myself. Now, this is the dominant definition of person in the cultures where we live. This sense that this is who I am, and I am my own person, and I am different from you. By stark contrast, I think the Bible has a very different definition of a person. This person is not defined as a consumer or a stranger, but as a member. If you think about it for a moment, when you read in the Scriptures, the way a person is defined is by locating them in their tribe, in their territory, among their people, their ancestors, where they came from, where they lived. You define a person in biblical terms by who they belong to, not how they are different from. Hear this definition of a person. I am a child of God. I belong to the people of God by baptism. I exist as a body who is in a body. I take interest in the lives of my brothers and sisters. Some of them energize me and some of them drain me, but they are still my brothers and sisters. I am obligated to them. People have the right to expect certain things of me in light of the covenant that exists between us. I seek to be faithful to them. I cannot think of who I am apart from my membership in the body of Christ. I am given the mind of Christ, regarding women in ministry, sexual practices, concern of the effect of alcohol on my neighbor, homosexuality, different theories of creation, the emerging church. And I learned to think about these things at the table as the Trinity guides us in conversation. I am a new creation. This is a very different way of thinking about and defining persons than this world that we live in. When you begin to think member, it suddenly takes you to scriptures. It's what Paul means when he says, in Christ we are a new creation. I am no longer consumer like everyone else. I am no longer stranger. Go away. I am now member in this body of Christ. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. For as in one body, we have many parts, many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. Ephesians chapter 2. So then, you are no longer strangers, aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. In him, this whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually as a dwelling place for God. And then finally, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. So then, let us put away falsehood and let us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are all members of one another. This idea of defining a person by who we belong to is a very different way of thinking in the world where we live. Where did we learn this? Where did we learn to define the person as a connected being with others? We learned it from the doctrine of the Trinity, where we find God in three persons, blessed Trinity, that three become one. We learn what it means to be members of one another from looking at how Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are together. The ancients had a wonderful term for this. Perichoresis, the circle dance. Have you ever noticed watching children play when three children will join hands with one another and they will begin to go round and round and round and they will be singing? Think about that picture. Each of the three children is holding the other two children's hands. None of them is leading. All of them are in perfect rhythm together, moving. They are viewing one another. The motion that they take is for the good of the other. And there is a rhythm that occurs within that circle dance among those children going on. And there is laughter, and there is love, and there is acceptance, and there is beauty, and there is joy, and there is life in this. This is our Trinity. A unity so tight that its rhythm invites us into it. And what it means for us to be members in Christ Jesus is that we are invited into the middle of this circle dance, and the Trinity goes round and round us, and we are invited to the table in the middle of that, and we draw our nourishment from that. And before long, we are caught up in the rhythm of how the Trinity loves and how the Trinity thinks and how the Trinity welcomes the neighbor and how the Trinity is willing to give of behaviors for the good of all the others who are in the circle that are there. This is the dance of God that we are invited into. It is the table conversation that we are in. I remember one night in Bourbonnais, Illinois, the congregation I was pastoring, it was set up kind of like this. There was a transept here and a transept here and a long transept here. And the church was full. And the song leader began to lead us in a song. Father, I love you. Lay my life before you. How I love you. Jesus, we love you. How we adore you. Lay our lives before you. Spirit, we love you. How we adore you. Lay our lives before you. And we were singing it in rounds. And this group started with Father, I love you. And this group, they got partway into it. And then this group picked up their part. And then this group picked up their part. And all of a sudden, here, all around us, one song was going on. But the Father was being praised, and the Spirit was being praised, and the Son was being praised. And there was a blessed unity in that. That is the picture of who we are. We are the body of Christ. We are members together of one another in Christ. And we do not ask the world to all be alike. We do not ask that the world would get rid of all differences. We do not ask that the world would be flattened out so that everyone would be a consumer of marketable goods. Nor do we say to the world, you are a stranger, you do not belong, go away. Rather, we have welcoming arms that say, join us at the table. Eat with us. May you be nourished in the very life of God that sustains us. And we offer all that we have as a gift to the world that is around us. This understanding of Trinity and personhood informs everything that we do. When we baptize someone, they go down into the water as a McWorld or a jihadist. They go down into the water as an individual. They come up out of the water as a member. Something happens. They are baptized into the family of God. They are given a new identity. They are now identified not as a person who is different from everyone else, but as a person who is a part of us. And in baptism, we lay claim to them in every way. And after their baptism, we now have the right to expect of them behaviors and life in keeping with the body, with the members, with the family that they've been baptized into. The Trinity informs church membership for us. Church membership should be more than just our name placed on in a book somewhere. In church membership, a person is saying, this is my family. This is my identity. These are my brothers and sisters. This is where I will be nourished by the at the table of God. These are the people that I will converse with about life's most important decisions. These are my people. They have welcomed me into their family. Church membership is a laying down of that radical individualism that wants my way and my rights and my things and my schedule. It is a laying down of that to be a part of this body. Trinity informs communion. Communion is not an intimate dinner for two, just Jesus and me or just Jesus and you. Communion is the Christ who says to his body, gather, my blood and my body are offered for you so that you may be one, even as I and the Father and Spirit are one. Trinity informs our worship. Our theology of worship needs to flow out of this. I'm so tired of worshipers coming as individuals to a worship service and saying, I like that song, I don't like that song. I like it when the drums are this loud, but I do not like it when they are this loud. I like that preacher, but this is a consumer. This is McWorld. I want to consume what I want to consume. Or it's jihadist. Don't let him play the drums again. Get him out of here. Or that preacher. Too long. Oh. No, when we come to worship, we're joining hands with the people that we belong to. We're moving in a circle dance of praise to God. And we are being formed as one. And we are not there to decide what we like and what we don't like. We're not standing at the McDonald's counter saying, I want that and that and that. We are the people of God that have come together to sing and praise God and to be drawn into the circle itself. It even informs our prayers. Because when we kneel down and pray, it may feel like we are alone. But what are the words that come from our mouth? Our Father, who art in heaven. Give us, not give me, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Deliver us from evil. We can't even use prayer language that doesn't recognize that we're not a part of a whole family that is there. Trinity informs our understanding of all of these practices, and it identifies us not as a single separate individual, but a member of this body of Christ. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God, one God, in three persons, blessed Trinity, may we learn the lesson of being a people defined as a table conversation in the middle of the circle dance of this blessed Trinity.